Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. We're going to be talking about the Feds keeping their interest rates low. We're going to be talking about police officers and their IQs, I guess. And we're also going to be talking about Obama's keeping his promises. But first, we're going to get to the markets today and an interesting day in the markets. You have gold currently down about $20 today at $14.59. We actually hit $14.39 on the low, had a nice little recovery, only down $20 at $14.59. And I would suspect that probably tomorrow you're going to see it up. That's what I'm going to say. Silver was down 69 cents today at 23.76. Came back about, it was down over 4%, and we're looking at about 2.8 right now. So nice little recovery in silver, although it is still down 69 at 23.76. Platinum was down $32 today at 14.83. Palladium down 11 at $692. They hit oil today. Crude oil was down 2.5 at 90.96, and you still have the USDX trading a little bit lower, 0.12 at 81.60. And the paper markets today took a little bit of a hit, almost about a 1% drop in the U.S. stocks. Some more economic weak data. And you had the Dow drop about 138 points at 14.7. NASDAQ down 30 at 32.99. S&P down 14 at 15.82. The 10-year yield at 164. And I also saw the euro was actually trading over 131. So the euro is certainly getting stronger, Alfred.
Well, what can I tell you? If the euro is getting stronger, that should indicate that the dollar is getting weaker, and that should indicate that the price of gold is going higher as measured in dollars. But you never know the way this thing operates. Reality has no bearing. Well, it has. I can't say it has no bearing, but it doesn't have little immediate bearing on what happens in the stock markets and the commodities markets. It has an influence, but it doesn't have control. So we'll watch and see.
Well, the Federal Reserve had its meetings, and they came out today, and of course they're going to keep interest rates historically at these low levels. and the U.S. Central Bank is not going to alter its $85 billion a month asset purchasing program. And again, when you have these meetings, folks, you know, I say this time and time again, they always hit gold, always. It might be a one-day wonder, but, you know, they'll still hit it, and that's exactly what they've done. But what's interesting about this, Al, is some of the language in their statements after their meeting. They made a change. It says a declaration that it would increase or decrease the pace of its asset purchases depending on conditions. And so they're
actually... In other words, there's no change that they can mention, but they might change if they feel like it.
Well, the point is that they're certainly going to, depending on conditions, which I don't know, I read into it that they're expecting deteriorating conditions that they will admit to where they can actually increase it. They've said often enough throughout the 6 months that, you know, what they're doing is they're certainly concerned about the after effect of it. And so this leads me to believe that they're looking for perhaps these conditions deteriorating. Their balance sheet has actually ballooned to more than $3.3 trillion. And something else that I...
Now, the balance sheet means that they are $3.3 trillion essentially in debt, or at least they're holding $3.3 trillion in the government debt instruments. Is that what we're saying right now, Melody?
That's what it looks like it's saying.
Okay.
There was only one of the committees that it was concerned about the fears about their money creation, how it could actually spur inflation. But there was also one key that we often focus, or you know, what is most likely talked about, is about the unemployment, that they would pull back on the $85 billion a month if unemployment would fall to 6.5% from its current level. And they also talk about the other side would be until inflation reaches 2.5%.
No. Oh, inflation. Yeah, okay.
So
yeah.
They want inflation at 2.5%.
And they're only getting
1.5, yeah, or 2.
Okay, yeah. Now, this is interesting from this perspective. They tell us, and I have another report from the New York Times that was written a day or two ago that's anticipating what you're talking about. And they talk about the Fed's target. In this New York Times, they said the Fed's inflation target is 2%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they only have 1.2%. The reason that's important to me is that it just confirms something that most people already understand to some degree, but the Fed over the years has advertised that it's here to fight inflation. It is not here to fight inflation. It is here to cause inflation, but only up to a certain level. They're trying to fight perhaps excessive inflation. They might do that, and I don't even think they're doing that. But they admit that they have a 2% inflation target, right? That means they're not here to stop inflation. They're here to make inflation happen, and that's exactly why the value of the dollar has diminished by 97% thereabouts since 1971 in terms of gold and silver. The value has fallen that far. We had $35 gold. Now we have $1,400 gold, right? It is evidence that the dollar has persistently been devalued. That means it has been persistently inflated now for since over the last 40 years. And it goes on more than that. But my point is the Fed is here to cause inflation. It is not here to stop inflation. And they admit it when they say they have a 2% target.
Speaking to someone today, he called me up and he says, you know, Melody, he says, you hear about inflation, deflation. He says, but the bottom line is our currency. It's the U.S. dollar. Mm-hmm. He says, it's as simple as, you know, he says, it can get complicated. He says, but it really is buying gold and silver. You're just hedging yourself against the currency, the U.S. dollar, going down. Yeah. I said, absolutely. It is as simple as that.
Yeah.
It is our currency, our fiat currency, world currency. That's what you're buying gold and silver for.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is inflation and deflation. They're all symptoms.
Well, the price inflation that we see out here, exactly right. They're ultimately a symptom of the monetary inflation,
exactly,
where the government's printing more money. And mm-hmm, it's part of the point we're making that the value of the dollar has, the dollar has lost 97% of its purchasing power in the last 40 years. That is evidence of persistent and intentional inflation. Now, I can't tell you that the Federal Reserve and the government will inflate things forever, but we have at least a 40-year track record where they are inflating, 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 and devaluing the dollar the whole time, which means one of the smartest things you can do is buy gold if you believe that that inclination, that determination to inflate the currency, they've done it for the last 40 years. Do you think they'll do it for the next 40? If you do, you can anticipate that the dollar is going to lose more and more and more and more value. And one of the best hedges you can possibly have is gold and gold and or silver. Right? It's virtually, unless they change their policy and they say, wait, we don't really want inflation anymore. We're going to have deflation or even price stability. If they did either one of those two things, then you could sit back and say, well, I don't know if I want to buy gold. But as long as the government is going to inflate the dollar, and it seems like they're going to do it forever, gold is a superb hedge. It's a superb investment. It's going to do you well over the course of the next several years. And why are they going to continue to inflate, inflate, inflate? Because the government is the single biggest debtor on the face of the earth. Inflation favors debtors. It allows debtors to repay their loans with cheaper dollars. The government says we have a $17 trillion national debt right now. The real number is probably over $200 trillion, but take $17 trillion. If they can cause 10% inflation, they have effectively reduced the national debt by 10%. We will still have, they're still going to pay off, in theory, they're going to pay off $17 trillion. But they're going to be $17 trillion that are only worth 90 cents a piece as compared to when they borrowed them. The inflation helps government get out from under the real cost of the national debt, which is the purchasing power of the dollars that they've borrowed and agreed to repay. They reduce the purchasing power of the dollars. It's like me paying off my, I buy a house for $250,000, borrow from the bank. And then what do? I deliver $250,000 worth of monopoly money to the bank to repay the loan. In a sense, that's what inflation allows the government to do. They borrow $250,000 to build the house. They repay the $250,000 with monopoly money. That's not true, of course, but you understand. I think everyone gets the analogy. They want inflation. They have to have it to minimize the national debt. So I don't see any way. We've had the last 18 months or so, the price of gold has moved down or sideways. I understand that. But for me, temporary aberration, long-term trend, persistent trend, inflation, inflation, inflation. And that means price of gold's going up, not necessarily today or tomorrow, but it's going up. So get some gold.
Reuters came out today. You had the... Friday, you have the payroll report, and you had ADP, National Employment Report, came out today, and they fell short, they indicated that there was 119,000 employees that were added to payrolls last month, and everyone is expecting, of course, a lot higher numbers. So I think Friday's payroll employment numbers come Friday. I think it's going to be a disaster, and I think they're hoping to get anything more than 88,000 like they had last month, but...
they're in trouble right now. Anyone who looks at this a little bit if you're a little bit perceptive, all right, you can just see that despite what the government says, the government is in a lot of trouble, and it's likely to get deeper into trouble. We've got an article from that deals with the Obama administration is going, here's some, it's from The Hill, which is a publication in Washington, D.C. that deals with whatever is transpiring in the Capitol. And Treasury to pay down debt for first time since Obama took office. That's the headline. The Treasury Department announced Monday that it would reduce its level of debt in the financial markets for the first time since President Obama took office. The department said it expects to pay down a net of $35 billion in its marketable debt for the second quarter of 2013, the first time it has done so since 2007. Well, $35, I guess it's something. You know, paying down the debt, they're making an attempt for the first time in really 5 years now, maybe six. They're going to pay down some of the national debt, $35 billion. If the national debt is $17 trillion, that translates into 0.2% of the debt. Okay? That's not much. And that's over a period of about 6 years. Over 5 years anyway. They're paying down 0.2% of the debt in 5 years. If we use the $202 trillion debt figure that's provided by the Congressional Budget Office, they're paying back, what, 0.17% of the $202 trillion debt. 0.17%. They're paying off nothing is what it comes down to. But they point out in the article that after this is done, they will have a $75 billion cash balance in June. The government will have $75 billion in cash to operate on. I know they have more money coming in and they have other, I don't know what their financial situation is altogether, but $75 billion is only 0.4% of $202 trillion, which they owe according to the Congressional Budget Office. That's equivalent to a man like myself who has a $100,000 debt but has only about $40 in cash to his name. All right? If the government only has $75 billion in cash in June, it suggests that they are operating on very thin ice. They're still skating. I understand that. But it suggests to me that $75 billion in cash is not enough to keep functioning if you're $202 trillion in debt. It raises a warning flag. It doesn't mean that the end is necessarily near, but it certainly is consistent with the idea that we may be seeing a serious problem in government and not too far from now. Right? Maybe before the end of this year. Hard to say how this is going to shake out, but that's not much cash when you're $202 trillion in the hole.
Where do you think that puts us for the borrowing limit to be raised?
You know, that's another thing that they talk about in the same article. And we've been listening to talk about raising the borrowing limit. It had to be done supposedly last fall sometime. And now they're talking about it for next October. All right, they think they may not have to raise the borrowing limit until next October. I think they're just playing with the books. I think if it's true that they claim they have $17 trillion in debt when it's really $202 trillion in debt or thereabouts, then we know they're manipulating the numbers. I think they're alleging that we don't have to raise the debt right now because why? Because they have new accounting systems. Somebody is fudging the books. We're told this was supposed to happen last fall. We couldn't get by if they didn't raise the debt ceiling. And now they're talking about it for October. Some of this just doesn't make sense. And all by itself, that's disturbing. It does not inspire confidence. When the government, they may be telling us the truth, that they won't have to raise the debt ceiling until next October. Maybe that's exactly the truth of the story. I don't know. But what were they talking about last year? How can we go from when it had to be raised last year to now it doesn't have to be raised until next October? Does anyone know what's going on? And if not, how can that inspire confidence in the system? I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned. That means it's time for Frank the...
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Melody's going to speak about that in a moment. Melody does not have a special for today, but I have a special. I got a special. All right? And Melody, you're going to have to participate in this special. And the special is going to be, we're going to sing happy birthday to Frank the producer, who had his birthday yesterday. Frank, is it your 39th birthday again? Is that what it is? How many times have you had the 39th birthday? We inquiring minds want to know. In any case, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Frank. Happy birthday to you. Da-da-da-da. All right, there's my special. All right, so what else have we got now, Melody? We got Frank out of the way. Won't have to worry about. We don't have to be. We have to be nice to Frank on his birthday, or close to his birthday. Other than that, though, once we get that out of the way, we can be as mean as we like to Frank. He goes along with it. He seems to even appreciate it. So, don't have to be nice to Frank.
Well,
the rest,
I'm really.
The rest of your,
I'm really thankful I have no birthdays. So.
You know, my dad didn't know his birthday. My father was his parents were Russian immigrants, and he didn't know when his birthday was. They didn't keep track. Grandmother had a baby, fine. Have a baby, go back to work. That's all.
Yeah.
Wasn't any big deal. And he picked January 1st. He knew the year, but he picked January 1st to be his birthday, but nobody in the family, I don't know, nobody knew. It was just part of the culture. They didn't understand that. So Melody, perhaps you are half Russian or moving in that direction or fully Russian. I don't know. Just don't have birthdays.
Well, I'm Italian and German.
All right.
So I guess, yep, quit having those a long time ago. Forgot.
I agree with you.
I'm young as young can be.
Yes, I understand that. And that's why your eyes keep fading. So you can look at the mirror, you go into the bathroom in the morning, and you look in the mirror and say, I look just like I did when I was 18. And then you put your glasses on, you say, who the heck is, what's my father doing in the mirror?
There was a movie, there was a movie a couple years ago, I can't remember the name of it, but where this person was born old, and he actually got younger.
Yeah.
And,
I remember hearing about it. I didn't see it, but...
interesting, but... Anyway, folks, 1-800-375-4188. Our telephone number at Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. With the discounts we're seeing today in the gold and silver market, it's a great buying opportunity for gold. Silver's still a little tight. It's there if you want it, if you want to pay the high premiums. But, you know, folks... I think you ought to at least wait another week and see what happens. We have $20 gold pieces, both in circulated and uncirculated, or mint state coins. They're really a great buy. They're priced lower than the circulated coins that our competitors sell for. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And we've joined forces with Wendy Wilson and several other writers, along with Al and Jim from West Virginia, and we run specials in that also. Sign up at the website, dgscoins.com, and if you have any questions for today's program, you can email us at questions@dgscoins.com, questions@dgscoins.com. And if you have any comments or questions for Al or myself, you can give us a call on the 800 number. This is not for coins. This is for questions. If you'd like to call into the program, 1-800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191. And I want to thank each and every one of you, every purchase that you make here, a large part of those funds go right back into the airing of these programs multiple times a day. We support other programs that help educate folks, Dr. Stand, Lori Roth, Frank Steffen. So we do a lot of programs that we support, and we probably don't mention them as often as we should. But so we thank you for your support. We've got great prices, and we will match or compete, or not match, but we will match or beat legitimate prices. If you find us a price, bring it to us. And if it's legitimate, I'll see what I can do, folks. So, thank you.
Okay. What's next, Melody?
Cops. Let's change the corner a little bit. The court is okaying to keep high IQs for cops.
Yeah. They in fact, a man, the headline is court okays barring high IQs for cops. A man whose bid to become a police officer was rejected after he scored too high on an intelligence test has lost his appeal in a federal lawsuit against the city. The court ruled that the city did not discriminate against Mr. Jordan. He was the guy who tried to become a cop because the same standards were applied to everyone who took the test. Most cops test just above normal on the IQ, about 104. average is 100. Most cops test just a little bit above average, which is 104. But this guy had an IQ of 125. And the New London police interviewed candidates who scored the 20 to 27 on the theory that those who scored too high, they have a scale, they have their own scale. It's not 20 to 27 IQ, but they would take a maximum of 104. This guy had an IQ of 125. And they wouldn't take him on the theory that those who scored too high could get bored with police work and leave soon after undergoing costly training. Okay? You can't have these smart guys coming in and getting costly training to be a police officer and then quitting because they were bored. Do you think they're bored, Melody? Do you think the real reason, and of course you can bet that I don't, but do you think boredom is the real reason they don't want bright people or, you know, unusually intelligent people in the police department?
No.
The reason, I think, is because they don't want people with brains enough to figure out what's going on.
Yep.
They want to minimize the number of whistleblowers who have brains enough to connect the dots and say, wait a second, this isn't consistent with the Constitution. This is a violation of fundamental principles of the Constitution. It takes little brains to understand what the Constitution means and apply it to police work. I don't think that. I think that's the reason why they don't want more intelligent people in the police force. The problem with that is that the average cop, they work in teams. There's typically two or more when they get in, whenever they're acting. They don't usually act all by themselves. Sometimes they do, but, you know, traffic cases and the rest of that. But in serious stuff, there's generally two or more cops. If you don't have at least a sprinkling of reasonably intelligent people who are police officers, who is going to alert their partner, wait a second, I think we might be violating this guy's Fourth Amendment rights? Or wait a second, we may be violating the Fifth Amendment. Will the people with an IQ of 104, will they have the same appreciation for constitutionally protected rights as the man who has an IQ, in this case, of 125? If the guys with a little more intelligence aren't allowed onto the police force, doesn't it follow that the less intelligent police officers, the probability that they will violate other people's rights is increased? And as the violation of other people's constitutionally protected rights are increased, it certainly antagonizes the public. It diminishes confidence in the police department. And it exposes the members of the police department themselves to more lawsuits. If they don't have anybody there with brains enough to say, wait a second, stop hitting that guy, what's going to happen? We're going to see more lawsuits. So the whole process, the idea of refusing to take people because they have a high IQ, or relatively high IQ, is simply, I mean, it's just so stupid, it's hard to even believe. If police work is so dull that they can't keep intelligent people occupied, then something needs to be done. All right, we need to allow them to play, who knows, some game on the computer in the cop car or something. Get something to stimulate. But when you have a high IQ, you may be smart enough to be a criminal or a politician, but apparently you're too smart to be a cop. And last thing I would say is, I'm thinking of that old poster. Goes back probably maybe even to World War I, where they have Uncle Sam, for certainly World War II, maybe World War I. They have Uncle Sam, and he's pointing his finger out of there saying, we're looking for a few good men. That's for the Marine Corps. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Now we can get one for the cops. We're looking for a few dumb men. Recruiting for the police department, we can do the same thing. It's just crazy.
Well, let me ask you a question now. How does the IQ requirement compare with military recruitment?
No, they'll take anybody in the military.
Yeah.
You don't need to be intelligent. It's just like running for Congress or being a crook. They're not particular about your intelligence. Can you think of another occupation? How many other occupations do you know of where people will reject candidates because they're smart or at least intelligent? I mean, how many people, is McDonald's, do they recruit, say, we're looking for some dummy to run the grill? Any of you people who were dropped out in eighth grade and the rest said, come on down, we'd like to hire you to run our grill here at McDonald's. Everyone is looking, hoping to find workers that have brains enough to do the job, except for the police. It's the only instance I know of where they expressly reject people because they're a little too smart for the business. I don't believe it's because they don't want smart people. I think it's because the police, upper echelons, they fear letting relatively intelligent people into the department who will look around and see there's something strange happening here, and they don't want intelligent whistleblowers. And that's my guess. I don't know it to be true, but that's my theory on it. So what else, Melody?
Before break, we were talking about jobs and the job outlook. And,
yep.
You know, they talk about how the weaker corporate growth will likely spell more job losses.
Yep. And, you know, article in, what is it, CNBC? Weak corporate top-line growth likely to spell equally troubled bottom line for the 11.7 million unemployed. A mere 38% of the 271 Standard & Poor 500 companies that had reported through Friday topped revenue estimates, with the aggregate figure actually showing a sales decline of 1.45%, meaning, and the business was not as good in the last quarter as they had hoped, and they are simply saying that typically means that when the corporations do less well, they fire somebody, and that means unemployment is likely to rise until corporate profits begin to rise again also, and they're just, you know, it's more pressure. It's just another one of those leaves in the breeze, another straw on the camel's back that suggests that the job, you know, job outlook is going to get worse. We're not going to do as well. Unemployment is going to increase. And everyone listening to this program, or virtually everyone, is probably familiar with the idea that the government has falsified the figures on unemployment. They don't count people who've stopped looking. You're not truly unemployed if you stop looking for a job after a year or two. You've been looking for a job for a year or two. You haven't found one. You finally stop. Well, you're not unemployed anymore. So you can become, you can go off the unemployment record or rolls. You can be released from the unemployment rolls if, one, you find a job, or two, you stop looking for a job. There's a certain logic to that. There's a certain logic. I mean, not everyone in this country who doesn't have a job is technically unemployed. Let's imagine a wife who stays at home, raises the children. She doesn't have a job out in the industrial world, the commercial world. She's not counted as unemployed because she's not looking for a job. All right, that makes a certain amount of sense. But when you take a man who has been unemployed for 2 years, and he's been looking for a job and couldn't find one, and finally just says, you know, screw that, I'm done looking for jobs. There aren't any out there. I can't find one. And he stops looking. They say, well, we take him off. He's like the wife who stays home. We won't count him as unemployed. But the truth of the matter is, he's made not just a decision out of frustration, he has perhaps made a decision that's based on the cost of looking for jobs. It costs money to take a bus, to drive a car, to go down the block, to go interview one place or another to see if you can get a job. It's not just an expression of frustration or just that I don't need a job, I can get by. It's also a financial decision in many instances where people say, I can't afford to be driving across town looking for jobs. After 2 years, how much have I spent already? I can't afford to spend anymore. My point is that the job situation is not only getting a little bit worse than it was, the real job, the real unemployment situation is much worse than the government even reports. It does not bode well for the future. I'm Alfred Addis. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. I've got an email from Dan in Santa Barbara, and he's referencing a previous program where we were talking about the federal government intruding into too many aspects of our individual lives. And I'm going to read his email, and then he'll give you a response on it. Dan writes, it's not a matter of the Fed. We talked about this, I think, perhaps Monday, maybe Friday, but I think Monday. And he said, it's not a matter of the Fed intruding into too many aspects of individual lives. In reality, the Fed, he means the federal government, was never granted it and doesn't have any reason or right or authority whatsoever to intrude into any of our flesh and blood private lives. Not a nun squat. They need to back off completely from all private human interactions. Governments are tasked with protecting borders and issues with cross-border incursions and movements of immigrants and commerce, and that's it. Everybody else, including our currency, I believe, is off limits and allegedly protected by 10 amendments called the Bill of Rights. All the other issues are left to the states and to the people themselves to decide as it suits them and their inhabitants. I could be wrong, but it's what I've come to understand as being the way it is. I'm listening to a rebroadcast, I think. Well, again, he heard us in the last couple of days, sent the email here today. Dan is on the right track in that the federal government, we talked about this, I think it was Monday, federal government's too big for its britches. It's intruding down into the states, trying to control. I mean, you wait for the time when they are going to control how many sheets of toilet paper you can use, and it'll be a federal offense if you use too many or too few, and you wonder where it's going to end. The system was originally set up pretty much as Dan describes. The federal government was intended to handle problems between the states, and it was intended to handle problems that existed between the United States of America and foreign countries, and they only had limited powers spelled out in Article 1 of the Constitution of the United States. They had only 17 limited powers to intrude into the states themselves. Today they intrude into virtually everything. I saw where a man was, in fact, you may have seen where, what was the religious sect in Pennsylvania? I can't think of the group, their proper name. I want to say Mormons, but that's not it.
Maybe
Amish.
The Amish?
Amish. Yeah, they got into a situation where they one group went after another one and shaved their head or their beards or something. You know what I'm talking about?
I can't recall that one.
It happened just in the last year, and they were recently sentenced. The perpetrators were sentenced in federal court, and the reason it was federal is because the scissors that they had used in the beard cutting had been manufactured in another state and therefore implicated interstate commerce. And based on the fact that the perpetrators of this offense, beard cutting, had used scissors that had been manufactured in another state, that opened the door for the feds to come in and make a federal case out of people cutting other people's beards. Now, the truth of the matter is it should have been just a state or local issue. The Fed doesn't have time, shouldn't have resources to chase down everybody who is using a razor blade or a pair of scissors that were manufactured in another state. It's evidence the government has gone too far, the federal government has gone too far. And the original structure of government, they only had limited powers, they couldn't intrude on everything. And for the most part, if a problem happened, it was up to your local government at the county, at the city or county level, or your state government to address the problem. Only rarely did we make a federal case out of it. Now everything has become a federal case. Well, there's reason for this. The original intent of the Constitution is that the government in Congress would only have limited powers over the people within the states of the Union. However, Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2 of the Constitution of the United States says in part, "The Congress shall have power to dispose of and make all needed rules and regulations respecting the territory or other property belonging to the United States." It is a difficult, it's hard to believe. It sounds improbable. It sounds like a theory advanced by some complete nutcase. But it does appear that the government, under Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2, is treating what were formerly states of the Union as if they were territories. The government appears to be operating on the presumption that Texas, the proper name for Texas legally for the State of the Union is the State of Texas. Texas, on the other hand, is a territory. State of Texas appears to be a territory. And a lot of people say, well, that's crazy talk. And it might be mistaken, but it's not crazy, and here's part of the reason. Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1 of the Constitution of the United States says in part, "No state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts." Now, this goes to the heart of programs like this when it touches on the idea we would like to see a monetary system based on gold and silver in this country again, which we had up until 19, 68 domestically and up until 1971 to internationally. We'd like to see it restored to that constitutional to money system that was, we find at Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1. But that money system was only mandated for the states of the Union. Gold and silver is not required in the territories. Article 1, Section 1 says, no state, and they meant the member states of the Union, no state of the Union shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debt. Right? They have to operate, the states of the Union have to operate on the basis of gold and silver coin. But it never said that the territories had to. It never said that Washington, D.C. had to. And that's what opened the door for the fiat currencies. Once the gold and silver is removed from circulation, how can the governments of the states of the Union pay their bills without violating the Constitution? Constitution to this day says no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin, a tender in payment of debts. Okay? States have to use gold and silver coin. They have to use gold and silver coin to pay their help, to pay their the officers, the judges, the governor, and so on. That's the implication of Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1. More, they can't impose fines or fees except in terms of gold and silver coin. But there's no such restriction on the territories. There is a theory to which I subscribe. I won't tell you it's God's truth, but it appears to be roughly correct that once they pulled the gold and silver out of circulation, they rendered the governments of the states of the Union insolvent and unable to continue to function. And under the pretext of an emergency, the feds came in and said, well, we'll establish a system where you can work with this fiat currency, these pieces of paper. You don't have gold and silver, do you? We'll give you fiat. And in the context of this emergency, it appears plausible. I know how crazy this sounds. I know how improbable it sounds. But it appears plausible that they started to operate on the presumption that the states were now functioning as territories. If we are in a territory, the Congress, under Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2, they have exclusive legislative jurisdiction over the territories. They can do anything. Now, I can't tell you that this theory, again, is God's truth. But I can tell you that this theory is consistent with email like the one we started out with from Dan in Santa Barbara, where he's complaining that the Fed is intruding into too many aspects of our lives. How does anyone else explain this? Huh? I'm offering you an explanation that as bizarre as it sounds, it is consistent with all of this massive federal intrusion into our lives. And I don't know of another alternative out there that says, well, the feds are able to overcome the Constitution. How? I think they're doing it on the presumption that we're in territories because the gold and silver has been removed. And if I'm correct in this theory, and I'm not the only one that embraces it. In fact, I didn't originate this theory. I've done what I can to advance it and explore it and understand it. But if the theory is roughly correct, then it goes a long way to explaining why it is so important that we have gold and silver. It is so critical, not only on a personal and private level, but even to restore it. We restore gold and silver and we restore rights. We get the feds out of our life, send them back to Washington, D.C. If we need you, we'll call you. Otherwise, stay back there on the other side of the Potomac River. What do you think, Melody?
Well, actually, you know, to me, I think a lot of these states are the one that sold out a lot of the people with their mm-hmm. connection with the feds. Mm-hmm. So the states do need to take a lot of the blame. But yesterday, the Arizona Senate approved. We knew they had this legislation, but the Senate did approve yesterday to make gold and silver legal currency in the state. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that was a lot of the backers of this program wanted it because of the lack of confidence in the international monetary system. So they have a Republican-controlled Senate, and there was a vote 18-10 that was approved earlier this month. Now it goes on to the governor, Jan Brewer, and, of course, she didn't indicate whether she would sign it into law or veto it. You know, so you folks out there in Arizona, you know, you guys need to start picking up those phones and doing what you can do. But again, Arizona is the second state to establish that precious metals as a legal tender. Utah did approve that legislation back in 2011. And I guess there are more than a dozen states with similar legislation in the past years that are trying to get it passed. And what this says is that they're trying to get the gold and silver as a currency that could be used strictly voluntary.
Yep.
Businesses would be free to accept the precious metals as payment for goods and services. And so we'll have to see if she signs the bill or not. But you bring out the old Democratic Senate guy, and he says, oh, this would create massive problems, you know, for both state and government officials trying to administer what would basically be some sort of a dual monetary system.
And what would happen with a dual monetary system?
You know, it would get rid of that little fiat system that we have eventually.
It would fail very it would be exposed very quickly, because if you want to buy a loaf of bread today and it costs, let's say, $3 for the loaf, and let's say it is, who knows, one, you have a choice of paying either three paper dollars or ballpark figure, one silver dime. All right? All right. What do you suppose the price is going to be next year for that loaf of bread? It'll still be one silver dime, but it might be four paper dollars or maybe five. And people will quickly learn that the silver is far more valuable and the gold is far more valuable than the paper. That's the problem that he's concerned about, that would be my guess. He's, oh, these will be problems. Yeah, it'll expose
for
the
that.
Racket.
Yeah,
it'll expose the racket, and people will learn, and it won't take them any time at all. And they'll say, a dime, yeah, I want that silver dime. All right? But I'm not worried about the paper dollars, but boy, I sure want that silver dime. So.
And, you know, in some of the comments, you know, the president of the Gold Standard Institute, which is the group and supporter of the bill, he says that this legislation is needed. This is what we talk about on this program, to counter what he sees as insolvency in the global monetary system.
Yep.
Why? The fiat currency, the dollar system, and all of the other derivative currencies, including the euro. It is a recipe for worldwide bankruptcy.
What has China been encouraging its people to do for the past several years?
Yep. Buy gold.
That's right. They want their people to have gold. All right? In our country, they don't want you to have gold.
Nope.
The government discourages it. They manipulate the market. Don't get gold. Don't get gold. Look, we're telling you, folks, they are trying to maintain this fiat currency. In order to maintain it, they have to criticize, debunk, they have to diminish the perceived value of gold as best they can. But I'm telling you, the reality is there. And the reality will intrude sooner or later in a way that is unmistakable and undeniable. And just as surely as people will learn in the state of Arizona that a dime is worth more than $3. And they'll begin to appreciate the difference between gold and paper. I guarantee it's going to happen for the people of this entire country. And when it does, there's going to be a scramble. There's going to be a demand. The price of gold is going to skyrocket. It's owning gold, owning silver is simply good business. It protects you in the event of a difficult situation, and it may even ultimately provide you with an opportunity for a spectacular profit. Will we see it today, tomorrow, next month? No, I'm not making that argument, but it is inevitable that we come to that moment. We have also come to another moment, which is the end of the program. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.